This is the Ask Amberlee Show.
Hey guys, welcome to the Ask Amberlee Show. My name is Trishelle Canatella.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me. This is great. I have a ton of questions.
Good.
Okay, so first off.
Yes.
I know nothing about holistic medicine. I know a little bit about what you do, but can you explain what exactly that means? What do you do?
Yeah, so I'm a doctor of metaphysics, which I know everyone's like, what does that mean? Yes. So it's the energy beyond the physical world. So it's the like building blocks of what creates all of physical reality, our health, our relationships, everything. So I'm looking at the waves of energy that inform physical matter. So this is like Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Like they're waves of energy that carry information for like your TV, what gets projected on your TV, what shows up in your cell phone, things like that. Mm-hmm. So the human body works the same way. So there's waves of energy that you have that come from your culture, your family line, all kinds of things that inform your cells for what to do, how to operate. So that's what I'm working with. It's very, it looks like woo-woo.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's very scientific.
Okay. So like when I think of metaphysics, I think more like spooky stuff. Am I off track?
No. Like- I mean, you're totally on track. That tracks because everyone thinks it's woo-woo. It's, you know, when you see something that you don't understand, it could be any technology. Mm. Like if you had a cell phone way back in the 1800s, people would think that's witchcraft, you know? So it makes sense to me why people would think it's so woo-woo or mystical and all those things. But it's just science in my head.
I love that, though, because I actually have some questions that kind of have to do with, like, the woo-woo. Like,
oh, good.
I like that stuff. So my mom passed away when I was 14, but that was a long time ago.
I'm sorry.
1994, so a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But I have very vivid dreams of her in current space and time with, like, my stepmom and my dad. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all together in a room. Like, it's very normal.
Yeah.
And we're all having conversation. And a lot of times when I, like, you know, I'll wake up and then I can go back because I want to, like, see what the conversations are going to lead to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how do you explain that? People from that past or whatever coming to you into dreams and there's it's just like we're existing and living and like a normal thing. Nothing is importantly being said.
Yeah. Well, you know how, you know, the Mardi Gras horses that have those blinders on?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of human beings when we're on Earth. So there's so much more outside of those blinders, but it's just what we choose to experience while we're here. So that law of thermodynamics, energy cannot be created nor destroyed. Mm. So it's just transient. It's moving. So if a human being was here and had that energy in that vehicle, that goes somewhere. It transforms into something. But the patterns of information that that person carried with them is still in the timeline of existence. It's kind of like the cloud in Apple phones.
Yeah.
You know, it goes into the cloud. Like, we can't see where it goes or whatever. But if you need access it, you can access it, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, well, based on this was, you know, crystallized into this piece of technology. But if a technology on the planet right now that was made by human beings can exist that we don't understand on that level, why can't a human being have 10 times that amount of technology available to them?
That's a really, really good way to explain it. I've never heard it explained that way. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think, okay, so I've always been brought up, I was raised Southern Baptist.
Yeah.
And my mom was always like, whenever I go, I'm going to go to heaven. You'll never see me again. But like I know I was raised that way, but I think I always tell people I'm not spiritual, but I think I have a little bit more in me than I think I do because of like the dreams and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever heard of traiteurs, which is like Cajun French for treaters? It's like these healers from the bayou.
Yes.
So we had that in our lineages on my mom's side.
Oh, very cool.
So, like, one of my great aunts was one. And back in the day, they used to say she was a witch doctor.
Yeah, right. Of course.
It was just basically she'd pray and chant, I guess, and then use a little bit of, like, medical tools to heal people. Like, I remember people used to get welder's eye. She'd put, like, potatoes, and she would, like, chant on people, and the potatoes would, like, turn, like, black. It was... I mean... It could be witchcraft. I don't know. I don't know. But what do you think about that? I mean, like, it healed people. She healed all kinds of people. Sunstroke. She healed welders, people that had gotten whatever. A lot of different things. So, I mean, it's almost like kind of voodoo, but not.
No, I do know about that. I remember one of my friends, she's Cajun, and she was like, oh, they still exist around, like, the Lafayette area, too. Yeah. And they'll throw a towel over a fence, and then, like, a child will heal all their allergies. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But when you're working with frequency, you're working with this Wi-Fi or Bluetooth technology, it's possible. It's just information on a carrier wave. And that's what all of our existence is made up of. So it makes sense when someone's doing, like, an incantation or saying something over and over again, that's sound. And at the core of the human body, we're made up of sound waves. So you're working with the exact material that you need to inform those cells of what to do or how to, you know, pull the toxins out of the eye or whatever it is. So, yeah, that looks like witchcraft. And it can be called witchcraft because no one understands it.
Right.
Yeah. But they're utilizing sound and frequency. It's a technology, and it does work. But you have to match the correct tones of what it needs. Like, every organ in your body has a certain musical note that it registers at. So you can use things like tuning forks and things that are calibrated at the notes of your organs to up-level them.
Yeah, okay, so that's just more of like a like an old school way and what they knew of something that people are practicing now, except it's more acceptable and in an office and not near a chicken coop and like the backyard like my family, but anyway, okay. So gearing toward that, you do holistic medicine. I mean, women have so many problems. I mean, as far as hormones go, whenever you turn 40 or when I turned 40, everything was out of whack. What can people do? Because, I mean, I've gone to the gynecologist. I've had hysteroscopy. I mean, they have gone inside of me and dug around. Things that, like, it's pretty much elective because I've just been like, I have all this pain, all this pain in there all the time, and I don't understand. I was, like, convinced that I had ovarian cancer or something.
Oh gosh.
And I had a fibroid removed, whatever. But I think I want to go toward the holistic route because this is not helping.
Yeah.
They're not fixing it. And I don't want to be on pain medication and, or anything like that. So what, how do you see people like that? And what have you seen that's positive?
Yeah. So even though I work with energy, I don't discount the power behind pharmaceuticals or supplements or surgeries or anything like that. There's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah.
So, but what's informing your reproductive system to be off kilter, right? That's what I'm interested in. And a lot of that has to do with somebody's belief system. So beliefs are more than, you know, when I say belief system, people are like, well, I'm Catholic or I'm this or whatever. And I'm like, it has nothing to do, a little bit to do with religion, but it's your belief system where it's patterns of information that have built upon itself over time and has physicalized in your body somehow. But it's the root of it is a belief. So it could be something that you experienced as a child that informed the female reproductive system or your hormones. It's not safe to express in this way, or it's not safe to do this. So that gets informed in those areas in that organ system. And so it's kind of like, have you ever seen cymatics where you put salt on something and then they play like a bass player or something and the salt that is disheveled everywhere will form into a perfect snowflake or like a perfect...
Oh, no, I had not.
Okay, cool. So there's sound waves that you can have, you know, salt or something in a bin, and it'll vibrate. Like if you're at a concert, you can feel that vibration, mm-hmm. right? So when it vibrates, it forms into a shape. So that's really what's happening. If there's a pattern or a belief system or things that you're informing that part of the body, it can get malformed. So the cells, instead of being a perfect snowflake, are a little bit disheveled or a little bit off in some way because the frequency is off. So the frequency has resistance somewhere in your system. So it's not able to get through correctly. So it's something that needs to be informed in a new way. It's like getting a new algorithm into a computer.
Yeah.
Or downloading a new software system program for your computer to run a new picture. You know, that's essentially what you're looking for that particular thing. Because you can work from the top down where you're physically like digging in there and doing those things, but the core, the program's still running.
Yeah.
So it's still informing your cells, regardless of digging in there and all the topical things you're doing. The information is incorrect.
So is it more, okay, so in, it wouldn't be considered like a treatment. Would you just like go deeper into like what's going on with that person instead of just like, I mean, how would you like help the pain?
Mm-hmm. Like, there are certain things that you can do. So for instance, if there is, it depends on where, if it's like endometriosis or things like that, I would have to look at some of your blood work too to get the information.
Okay, yeah. So you'd recommend getting blood work for people.
Right.
Okay.
And then I would look at, oh, there may be an excess of estrogen in relation to progesterone. But if you're just looking at the blood work, your estrogen might be fine. Mm-hmm. But the ratio might be off. So your lab panels, you might think, oh, well, everything's in the normal range.
Yeah.
But the ratio needs to be in a certain way so that it can express itself clearly. So you can use those tools, like if you take progesterone oil and you rub it in your gums before bed, which has been very effective for people, that can start holding that information for your body to sync up to, almost like the tuning fork that we were talking about. Everything, including, it could be a papaya, has frequency in it. It has information in it. So it can inform and hold that energy in you. It's like putting a new algorithm in you by rubbing that progesterone on your gums. It's putting in more information.
What does that do? The progesterone is just like, it's a hormone?
It's, yeah.
I remember I took that whenever I was going through like embryo IVF, things okay. like that.
Yeah. So progesterone, the one that I like to work with, it's from yams. It's like a natural form of progesterone. It doesn't come from an animal.
Right. Okay.
So there are different forms of it. But yeah, it's just an oil that you rub in your gums, and it can help balance out some of the excess estrogen that might be in the system, or excess testosterone. It could be, I would have to look at the panel, but yeah, you can definitely work with specific things, but I would also work on the belief system too. So if someone's working with me, I would tag what their belief is that's at the root of that dysfunction.
Wait, but what do you mean belief? Like, get more into that.
Okay. So if you had, you know, if you're having problems with your reproductive system, mm-hmm. I would ask you questions about things in your childhood. It could be things that you're experiencing now. And as you're talking, a lot of that information I can access now. It's kind of like opening up the computer program. And if I'm a software developer, I'm going to be able to read those algorithms. Mm-hmm. So it's a language that not many people know how to speak or know how to read, but I've been trained on how to do it. Mm-hmm. So if you're telling me something that happened to you, so say your mom passed at 14.
Right, yeah.
When you were 14, I mean. So that could have been an experience that imprinted into your world. So a lot of patterns of information would change at that point, right?
Yeah.
So that is absolutely connected to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know that because I can already feel your energy field shift.
I had a very traumatic
mm-hmm.
first period situation.
Okay.
Because when she passed, also, I was the kind of child that I didn't go to. I was on the bleachers during sex ed. My mom didn't want it to mm-hmm. come from anybody else. She wanted it to come from her. And, you know, basically there was like no sex education. It was like, don't have sex before marriage, period.
Yeah.
And so we didn't really have a birds and the bees talk. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't get my period until I was like almost like maybe 16.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know what was going to happen or what was happening.
Right.
And I thought that I was going to, I thought I was dying. I thought that I was like bleeding out, like something was wrong.
Right.
And I called my stepmom and she was like, oh, she's like, wait, you don't know about this? And I was like, no. And I was terrified.
Yeah.
So obviously. I feel like maybe that could have been like something traumatic. And that was like the start of my womanhood. I was like, I'm going to die. Which my friends will laugh because that makes a lot of sense because I'm a huge hypochondriac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So imagine that experience just informed so much about yourself.
Yeah.
That developed a belief system in you. So now it's not safe to be female.
Yes.
That's part of the belief.
Yeah.
If it's not safe, your reproductive organs are going to go haywire because they're like, this shouldn't be in my body. Reject progesterone, have issues with estrogen, like get out, get out, get out. This is, I'm so uncomfortable with whatever's going on because this means I could die. Well, that's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a horrible experience to have. And if that information is continuously pulsing throughout your system, you're not aware of it even. But when I just tagged it, you're like, oh my God, that totally makes sense. So when you tag the belief, you can overturn it and change that narrative. And then your cells can get on board with that. But until then, that program is always going to be running. So I would go deeper into that belief that you have and inform your system that you are safe to be female. It is safe to do that. And that also is actually connected to why you have such a survival instinct. You're like, I will survive, you know, X, Y, Z. Your nervous system is low-key always in fight or flight because of that scenario. So, but you deserve to not have to be in that. You don't have to live that way.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a subconscious program that you're not really aware of in your system. But now that I've tagged it, you're going to see it show up everywhere.
Yeah.
It's in everything you do, even down to the person you decided to marry.
Yeah.
It's infiltrated your whole life.
There's so many small things. Like my mom died at 44. I'm 44. So I have had a lot of anxiety and the hypochondria and all this other stuff. But it's like I'm fighting. I'm like, I'm going to make it to 45. I'm not going to, you know, that's not going to be my fate either.
Yeah.
And I have a month and 2 days left until I turn 45. So let's go. After that, I should be fine, right?
Yeah. Well, can you imagine your face as an older person?
Yeah.
Okay, you're good.
I could see myself what I'm doing. I'm like hanging out with the girls, like, you know, shopping in Italy. Like,
there you go.
That's what I imagine. But I mean, whenever people go to you with these issues and problems, and is it almost like a therapy session? You're making them more aware, but then it's like, what if it's too much information for some people and they on the drive home are like, I can't process this.
Right. So I even though I can see the full picture, I know what their boundaries are and I know how far I can take it.
Yeah.
So just because I see it doesn't mean that I'm invited to touch it.
Yeah.
So I know that going in as a practitioner. That's why I will have multiple sessions with someone, because if I unplug that program, you're not going to be able to process any of it. And then it's actually not going to help you. So I have to kind of spoon feed you a little bit. And I do this work on myself too. I even have to spoon feed myself. So it takes a while because your nervous system is very primal. You have to convince it. You have to get it on board. Like, hey, the water's warm. You might want to try to think about this. Instead of like, well, no, you're wrong. You can't do that. The nervous system is not going to listen to you. So you have to really make friends with it and make peace with the polar opposite, the thing that it's trying not to look at. It doesn't want to look at the shadows in the room. It doesn't want to look at certain things. And so if you gradually take a candle and go throughout and show it, hey, you know, the shadows are just shadows. It's not any, it's not like the big bad wolf.
Yeah.
It will eventually get there, but you have to kind of spoon feed it along the way.
Yeah. And it's probably like a lot of training yourself, right? To think differently and just.
Yeah, it is. But also the way that I work, I can, there are, like, if your body's a computer system, there's a point on the top of your head that if you tap it, it'll it will program you for something. So I know.
Like it's pressing crazy. It?
Yeah, but you have to tap it pretty, not hard, but enough.
They do, like, that sometimes during massages, and I don't like it. It's my least favorite part. I'm like, why is she pressing the top of my head? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, your nervous system is telling you you're not safe. So, of course, you hate that. Like, stop. I don't mind it. But, yeah, you're like, no. But, yeah, you would tap. It's a tapping move. So, you do it like that. Like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, that pace for people who aren't physically watching right now. So, you're tapping. And as you're tapping, you're tapping on the nervous system, that it's the top of your whole spinal column. So it goes into all the nerves that innervate everything in your body. So you're putting in new information. You're saying the new belief. And as you're saying it, you're pushing that information in. So I can do it very quickly. But also there are some things that I need to go a little bit more slowly.
I'm open. Yeah. We're not going to do it here.
Right.
I am very much open because I am a very, like, this is how it is kind of person. And yeah. I don't know about that. And I have a lot of strong thoughts on things. But yeah. I mean, at this point, it's like with all my health stuff, no explanation for it.
Right.
And I'm like, come on. Like, I've had MRIs, CAT scans, all this other stuff. And it's like, there has to be something else going on that I am not aware of, that the doctors physically cannot see.
Exactly.
And so I mean.
Well, yeah. And that's why I never blame the expert or the doctor or the practitioner. It's working with the unseen. That's what metaphysics is. It's beyond the physical realm.
Yeah.
So it's not their fault. They don't have the tool for it. But I think we're moving more in a direction where we're trying to bridge that gap, where the doctors are working with people who can kind of, you know, fly blindly a little bit and vice versa. So there are things that I absolutely support in the Western realm. I think there's a time and a place for all of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's new territory for a lot of people. So it can be scary, you know, but people do feel after they have a session with me, they're like, oh, I feel like it was therapy on steroids because I'm physically moving things too.
I feel like you would be really good working with like pain management because a lot of the people that go into those clinics, it's fibromyalgia, like just unexplained pain. And so it's very interesting.
It is interesting because as we enter into the colder months ahead, keeping your immune system strong will be a key to staying healthy. Silver Biotics offers a daily immune support that is one of my absolute favorite products. It has helped me fight earaches, infections, sore throats, and colds over the years, as well as heal cuts, burns, and other skin irritations. I can't recommend it enough. It's a staple in my household, and it's just great to have on hand. Go to silverbiotics.com and use the code Dr. Carter for a discount. Another immune-boosting favorite that I personally use daily is Boost by MSW Nutrition. It was specifically developed for those with common genetic mutations like MTHFR, to help absorb and utilize vitamins easily and effectively, and helps restore electrolytes. This has made such an improvement in my health. It truly is a multivitamin that you can feel. Go to mswnutrition.com and use the code AskAmberly for a discount. Now, back to the show. Even your personality type can inform your body and your health for how to respond to things. So people with ALS, they have very poor boundaries with people. So they are the nicest one in the room, always, always the nicest. And they'd rather take the brunt for people versus witnessing someone else take the brunt of something.
Wow.
So, but Dr. Gabor Mate is a he's a medical doctor who studies these personality types with different disease patterns. It's fascinating.
I don't even want to know what you think my personality type is. But
so funny.
Actually, I did have a question about this.
Okay.
Okay, so as far as it goes with different emotional availability and things like that.
Yeah.
How do you deal with friendships where you feel like sometimes the person is like a little bit more emotional than you are? You know, some of my friends mm-hmm. are like, you just tell me things and it seems harsh. And yeah. I'm like, and they're like, I know that you're not meaning for it to be. I'm like, that's kind of how I was raised a little bit. Mm-hmm. It was like, suck it up, buttercup mentality. Yeah. And so like, for me, it's very hard for me to change that and be able to approach my friends in like a loving way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that? Making it nice with all the friends.
And yeah.
I sound like a sociopath. I no, swear you don't. I'm not.
You don't at all, actually. Well, where I said, you know, your belief where it shows up in one area, it shows up everywhere.
Yeah.
So even that is connected to what happened to you at 14 years mm-hmm. old. So there's a part of you, that soft feminine energy, that, you know, the emotional side mm-hmm. that tends to be more for, you know, feminine energy, that there's an intolerance there.
Yeah.
So it goes into all of that. So it's part of you that you're not accepting. And so mm-hmm. if you could witness yourself in that space a little bit more, there, that would open up. Now, you're not responsible for making them feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. You acting the way that you're acting is triggering something inside of them. So you're not responsible for that. But if you're trying to play nicely in the sandbox a little bit better, then I would definitely work more on embracing the feminine energy, because it's going to help your health, but it will also help your friendships.
Embracing the feminine energy. Wow. I always thought I was so girly. I guess I'm
you
not.
Are. Well, no, you are. That, and so it, everyone likens it to yeah. that kind of thing. Well, I love shopping and makeup, all that. Great. Feminine energy, regardless of your gender, is the state of being, the state of relaxation, the state of creativity. That is something where if you can just sit in it and allow, instead of masculine energy is doing, action, going. So both men and women have both energies. They have both feminine and masculine energy. You have to. So in order to create something, you have to be in the feminine energy first, and then you have to take the masculine energy and go and do something with it to bring something into fruition.
Yeah.
So you need both.
I feel like it's like, I want to tell people sometimes, like, if I take on your stuff, and a lot of times, like, I mean, I'll cry at like a commercial or, yeah. you know, like, I forget what I was crying. I cried about something the other day and I was yeah. like, oh, I have tears. But like, I'm afraid that if I really start crying mm-hmm. deeply, that I'll never stop. I mean,
yeah,
I know that everybody's had trauma and sad stuff, but mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess I've just had to toughen up a little bit because I was young when a lot of it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, and it's hard to explain to some of my friends, and I'm like, you still have both of your parents. You haven't been through all the things. And I know mm-hmm. that it's not like a contest.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not a contest that anybody wants to win.
No, that's for sure.
Who has the most trauma? I do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just hard to explain to people too, because mm-hmm. then I don't want to, like, I don't feel like I want to bring it up to depress that person either. I like to try to keep things light. And I know that sometimes I have to be heavy in certain situations. It's just very hard.
Well, vulnerability is the breeding ground for connection.
Yeah.
So it's great to be vulnerable sometimes if you have the right person to hold that space for you.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't, if you have a Trishelle in your life, then you might not want to be vulnerable mm-hmm. in that position, right? But if the more you can be vulnerable, even with yourself, even when, like you said, if you're at home and you want to cry or whatever, go there. Like, what would happen if you just totally let yourself go in that process? You would survive that. You think you could survive a plane crash, but you can't survive your emotions.
Yes.
That's the
problem.
That's
what it is.
That's the problem.
Emotions are a big problem. Anything else is not.
But that's because you're in your masculine, because if you're in a plane crash, you have to do.
I know.
If you're being, you have to allow, if you're in your feminine energy, you have to be and allow that to flow through you without resistance. Mm-hmm. That's terrifying to you.
Yeah.
Well, you're out of practice with it, but you're capable of having that feminine energy.
Yeah.
But.
And you said it goes down to the person you marry too, because my husband is a military guy, so he had to stuff down a lot of his emotions as well.
Definitely.
But that works really good for me because neither one of us need it. We're just like, let's have a good time today. We don't fight. What's there to fight about?
That's so true. Well, look, you figured it out.
It's
what
a
works
good match.
For you. Yeah, I know.
Okay, but speaking about friends and everything,
yeah,
this is more of a light question.
Okay.
Is it normal to have gossip light in friend groups? And I always tell people, I know that you guys talk about me.
Right.
I provide very good material for people to gossip about me. I know this. And like, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Because I kind of feel like it's all in, they still love me anyway.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't really matter what people think. You know, it's like, it's fine. People can think and will think whatever they want. You're not entitled to that. They can have whatever opinion they want of you.
Yeah.
It's what's going on inside of you that's when it starts affecting you. Mm-hmm. But if you're like, okay, great. Like everyone has an opinion. Their opinion is a reflection of what's going on inside of them.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. I went through it. My last television show that I did, Traitors, I was so attacked on Twitter for voting someone off, and it was absolutely insane. I was trending. It was horrible for like a long time. Well, for me, it seemed like a long time.
Yeah.
Everyone else was like, people are going to forget about it in 2 weeks. And I'm like, but that like 2 weeks was just because all you can see is what people were saying about you tagging me and stuff. And I was just like, this is absolutely horrible. I was legitimately traumatized. I was asked to do two other shows and I said no. I was just like, I can't. Like, I was so traumatized by the situation that it's like I'll go on Twitter sometimes and I'll like imagine that I was trending again. And I'm like, there's so much. Like,
yeah,
you need to help me.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, okay, we're going to be here for days. No, kidding.
But anyway,
yeah.
I have another question to do with like relationships.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with like two very stubborn relatives that I'm in the middle of these two people and love them both so dearly and they have not spoken in 3 years and they just do not want to speak anymore. And it is the most heartbreaking, sad thing. We have to plan family functions around them. It's just the saddest thing in the entire world.
Are they Cajun?
Love them. Yeah. Yes, we all are.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, they can be extremely stubborn.
Stubborn.
So being in the middle of that, you can't really do much, especially with two stubborn people. But the more you see both sides as valid, the more neutralizing it becomes and the more you get back into balance because they are 100% valid based on their belief system, their thoughts, that's valid. It's allowed to exist and express. The opposite end is also 100% valid. That's allowed to exist and express. So when you're not judging the situation and you let go of the resistance of this person needs to not be this, that's when things can open up.
Yeah.
So when you're dropping that judgment and allowing that to express and seeing it as valid, it helps move that energy a lot more than if you're, even as an onlooker, judging the situation as being wrong, bad, evil, not allowed to express, not allowed to be here, not allowed to do what they're doing. They have 100% of a right to being that way, which is the tough pill to swallow because even though you wouldn't be that way,
it's
valid.
Hard to be in the middle of situations like that and try to do the right thing and try to, I mean, at one point I was like, maybe we just surprise them and invite them both to Christmas. And then another family member was like, I don't think that's a good idea.
Are you ready for another TV show?
Yeah.
Because I mean, that like, would be bad.
Yeah. So probably maybe I should. Just like you said, that is a good advice, actually, just to hear and see them as equal and to take.
And you can invite both of them, but leave it up to them. Inform them, hey, you know, everyone's coming. It's totally up to you. You're more than welcome. It put it back in their court.
Mm-hmm.
as the more you take it on and you're, you know, tiptoeing around everything and trying to placate everyone, whatever, it makes it so much worse.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I have like one last question. What would you say, this is a very broad question, but what would you say is the most healthy thing that you can do for your mind as a female in your 40s? Or let's go mid-30s to like 50s. Let's go that age range.
Well, I think it really depends because everyone is at so many different phases in their life. Mm-hmm. Like obviously if you're a teen, most teens have the same exact things they're going through, you know, like puberty, high school, you know, dating, all those mm-hmm. things. Okay, but for 30 to 50, that's wild for, it's the wild, wild west for women during that time because everyone's on a completely different spectrum, whether that's, you know, kids or marriage or, you know, working, not working, whatever it is, there's such a different thing going on for everyone. I think one of the most unifying things that women are going through during that time period is struggling to connect to themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to do that when you are on your phone or you are viewing a show all the time. And so it gets blurry when that exposure to those things starts informing you, programming you, that you believe is now your reality. Mm-hmm. And when you walk outside, it is a different reality, but you don't believe that because of what you just programmed yourself with. The energy you enter into something with is everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to think if that's all that I wanted to ask you.
I love your questions. They were so good.
They were really random and all over the place.
No, I love it. That's the whole point.
You're very well-rounded, so I appreciate you answering all my silly questions.
No, they weren't silly. I think a lot of people can relate to them, you know, so I think it was really good. And thank you for being vulnerable
this
and revealing aspects of yourself that I think a lot of people are going to be able to connect to.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And I'm probably going to have a ton more questions for you. So maybe we'll have to do this again.
Moving forward. Yeah.
I want to ask you this. Mm-hmm. So what does your typical sessions look like whenever you meet with people?
Okay.
Like how many do you start with and...
Yeah. So actually, I start with the first one because I never know where someone's going to be. If they're like, okay, I have this specific issue I want to knock out, I will do multiple sessions within the month with them. Normally I would say it depends on the issue, but I would do typically the pace is like once every 2 weeks to see someone to break through something, and my goal is that you'll never need me again. It can be like I've worked with someone for like, you know, since I've been doing this, actually I guess like 10 years, and they just want to tune up constantly. They're just like, okay, tell me what's going on, you know, help me with this and that, and those are fun too, you know. And there are things that are heavy hitters, but then there are other times where it's little things here and there. So we can go deep, we can go surface level, we can work very much so on hormones or physical ailments, things like that. We can also work on relationships. If someone's going through a divorce, it runs the gamut for people.
So if you want to do something with hormones, would we go and get like, I'm asking for myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Do I go get a hormone panel and then come and see you and see like, this is my blood work. What do you think?
You could, but we already kind of tagged the belief right now. So we could start with the belief if you wanted to and start shifting that and just seeing if things start changing or how you're feeling and, you know, getting improvements there. Some people like to start with the hormone panel to have a base point, like a baseline, and then, you know, 6 months down the line, compare and contrast. That's fine too. I could kind of feel into what you were dealing with already because of things that you revealed.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily need to see the blood work for that. But we could do that if you wanted to. Okay. It's totally up to you.
Just a question for anybody who's listening.
Yeah.
I like it. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I appreciate you answering all my great questions. And also, wow, I'm a host.
Yeah.
I know. This is fun.
If you'd like to read more on beliefs as it relates to health, you can order a copy of Manicure Magazine, my new health and lifestyle publication, to be delivered straight to your door. Go to www.manicuremagazine.com/order for your copy. I hope you enjoyed the show.